Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for joining me today on The Dr. Nina Show here on LA Talk Radio. We had a little bit of technological, glitches, but I'm back. Hopefully you can hear me now. And I am so glad to spend this hour with you. Especially during the coronavirus crisis that we're all going through. As you know, I like to say that it's not what you're eating that is the real problem. It is what is eating at you. And naturally, what is going on with our world today, this global crisis that we're all in, we're all staying safer at home, hopefully. And that means there's a lot of anxiety that we're dealing with. We're not able to distract ourselves from the anxiety because wherever you go, whatever room you go into, there's someone talking about it. There's the news. You call your friends. Anxiety about this pandemic is everywhere. And so, of course, I'm hearing a lot about people stress eating, binge eating. You know, when you're home 24/7 and you can't distract yourself or do much for many of us, then it's easy to fall into that pattern of sort of stress eating to cope. So today I want to talk about how to stop stress eating or binge eating or any kind of eating that is problematic for you when you are home 24/7. And I'm also going to talk about how to be nicer to yourself so you don't use food for comfort. If you'd like to join me here today, the number here in the studio is, it's a new number. I've got to go by. Ronan, help me out. 818-602-4929. Someone is telling me they can't hear me on Instagram, but they can hear me on the LA Talk Radio website. Wait, hold on. Hold on, everyone. I see the problem. Okay, what about now, you guys? Can you hear me? I had something plugged in from before. Hopefully you guys can hear me. I hope so. Can you hear me? I hear you guys on Instagram. All right. I think so. I think I know what the problem was. So hopefully that is fixed. So again, I'm going to talk about how to stop stress eating when you're home 24/7 and how to be nicer to yourself so you don't use food for comfort, especially during this really challenging time. Carly Gash, I see that you're on Instagram. Can you tell me if you can hear me? Hopefully, it's working now. Yes, thank you. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate your help through this time of technological challenge. Okay, here are 10 fun and funky ways to beat stress eating during this time when you're home 24/7 or ever. Again, if you want to join me, the number here is 818-602-4929, 818-602-4929. Also, you can, if you're on Instagram, just drop a comment or a question and I will be happy to answer it. Okay, so does staying safer at home make you feel like snacking? Maybe you're dealing with coronavirus anxiety by eating bags of chips or opening the fridge on an hourly basis. So here are my top coping strategies that have helped tons and tons of people stay on track when it comes to making healthy choices. And this is going to help you too. Again, I promised fun and funky because we need a little fun and funky in our lives right now, don't we? I think so. I know I do. All right. So here's the first tip. And this is in no particular order. Number one, let it rip. Write down all your difficult feelings, all your fears, all your anxieties, everything that's going on. Write it on a piece of paper and then rip the paper into tiny little bits. It sounds weird, but it totally works. It works. It literally gets your feelings out. And then there's something about ripping them up that feels really powerful. So if you don't believe me, just try it. I did this first when I was a grad student, and we were all so anxious all the time about doing well and, you know, getting through the program, and it was really intense. And so one day we had like a anxiety party, and we just wrote down all our fears, like, I'm not going to graduate, I will never become a therapist, I will never, like, nothing ever is going to go right. We wrote down all our anxieties, we ripped them up, and then we actually flushed them down the toilet. I didn't put that in here, but you could do that too. So satisfying, and we all felt better afterwards. So maybe that's partly about sharing the anxiety, but I also think that getting it out and ripping it up is so helpful. So let her rip. Second tip, go back to the future. Think about a horrible situation in the past that eventually worked out for the best. We all have them. Sometimes that, like, things were just so dire and so awful and you're filled with anxiety. And then in the long run, not only did it work out, but you learned something from it. Something positive came of it. So think about when that has happened for you. It has happened in your life at some point, I'm sure of it. What lesson did you learn about yourself? What did you learn about other people? What did you learn about the world? And now imagine your future self talking to you today. Maybe that future self is 3 months from now, or 6 months from now, or a year from now. Sometime when this is all over, and when we've lived through it, and when we've learned something from it, think about what your future self would say to you today. What would you say to reassure yourself? Say it now. Go back to the future. Go to the future. Think about what your future self would say looking back on today, and say it. Again, weirdly powerful and helpful. Number three tip is do the right thing, W-R-I-T-E. Journaling really helps you get emotions on the page so you don't stuff them or stress eat them. Or another way you could write it out is write a letter. And by the way, you don't have to send the letter. Write a letter to the coronavirus. Write a letter to President Trump. Write a letter getting out all of your feelings and fears. Write it all out. There is something just so powerful about doing that. So whether you're pained or pissed, writing your truth will set you free. And when you feel better, guess what? You're not going to go to the fridge or to the pantry or wherever to stuff down those feelings, to eat for comfort or distraction. My fourth tip is to blog it or vlog it. So what is eating at you? Are you feeling scared? Are you feeling stuck because of the coronavirus or anything else that's going on in your life? Like, actually, other life things are happening besides coronavirus. Sometimes it's hard to remember that. Hi, thank you so much, people on Instagram. I really appreciate that this is helpful for you. Let me know if you have any questions and I will answer them. So a lot of people are complaining about coronavirus and what it's doing to us, and rightly so. This has upended all our lives, our financial lives, our social lives. So many aspects of our lives are just completely turned upside down. There's a lot of anxiety about that. But, you know, sometimes you just got to take a break, right? You got to get away from coronavirus. I am also going to post these tips on my Facebook page. I'm going to do that later. So you guys, you don't have to write this down. I'm going to post it. And I'm also going to probably email this to my subscribers. So don't worry about writing it down. Just take it in. And whatever helps you, it's going to stick. And if it doesn't stick, you're going to be able to find it on my Facebook page or in my Facebook group. If you're not a member of the group, please join. This is a time when we really need community. My Facebook group is Dr. Nina's Food for Thought Community. Dr. Nina's Food for Thought Community. Join us. There are people from all over the world. I think we've counted like 5 countries: Australia, Japan, England. I can't think of all the countries, but countries, all states, all over the place. join a group, join a community of people who get it so you don't feel so alone. So we sometimes just have to get away from coronavirus, right? We just can't take it anymore. We just can't hear about it. We can't listen to the news. We can't. So get away from it. Here's a time to explore your interests, right? We have time now. We have time to do those things that we always said we'd do when we had time. So now we have time. So explore your interest. And you could do that online. We've all discovered there's a lot going on online. You can learn an instrument online. You can learn a new language online. And if you want to learn about jet skiing for when you're able to go jet skiing, hey, there's a blog about that. There's a vlog about that. There's a video about that. There's something, a video on everything, anything that you could possibly be interested in. There is a blog or a vlog or a video on it somewhere. Or start your own. Share to the world. So really use this time to just, you know, get in touch with the parts of yourself that maybe you've been neglecting because you're so busy. When you all of a sudden have to stop and stay home. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't realize how busy I was, how frenetically, crazily, absolutely, wildly busy I was. I was on that hamster wheel. Go, 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 go. Write more. See patients. Do this, do this, do this, do this. Go, 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 go. So constantly. And I was so just, I don't know, caught up in more that I didn't even realize how busy I was until I wasn't as busy anymore. And there's like this giant exhale, like, okay, you can get more in touch with you. You can get more in touch with who you are and what you're interested in, not just what you're doing. So this is one of the silver linings of this crisis. It's going to put you more in touch with you. Okay, here's another funky one. I said fun and funky. Draw with your non-dominant hand. Doodle or draw something with your non-dominant hand. That should be interesting, right? But seriously, if you are right-handed, draw something with your left hand and vice versa. Because studies show, why do this? What's the point of this? Besides, like, oh my gosh, it's really hard to draw with your non-dominant hand. Studies show that using the non-dominant hand in creative activities connects different parts of your brain in a new way. It's goofy. It's fun. It's good for your brain. And if it's good for your brain, it's good for you. Okay. Number 6, make a new best friend, as in an animal. Studies show that pets can significantly lower stress levels. You've probably heard that there are lots and lots and lots of pets being adopted out of shelters right now and rescue organizations. In fact, my best friend is trying so hard to add a new dog to her family. She has not been able to do so. This is bad for her, but good for all these dogs out there who all need a forever home. Living with a dog or a cat or whatever, my photographer, Irina, she loves bunnies. She's got a lot of bunny rabbits. So whatever your go-to, I know someone who loves her hamster. So whatever kind of animal you want to live with you, bring a new animal into your life. It will reduce your risk of a heart attack. It will reduce your stress. It will help you feel better. And there's nothing so amazing as a cuddly, furry ball of love. And you guys have probably seen me with Zane. So, you know, like you just look at Zane, who's not here right now. But you just go, oh, your heart melts. Even seeing a dog, even looking at cute puppy pictures or cute kitty pictures can make you go, oh, and all of a sudden that stress diminishes. But a real dog, cat, bunny, bird, gerbil, whatever, hamster. I'm trying to think of all the little animals that can be pets. Really, really. Bring a pet into your life now. Cuteness awaits. Love awaits. Hold on, you guys. I got to shut off my notifications. Otherwise, we will keep getting interrupted. Okay. This is the interesting part of doing this show from home. All right. Number 7 tip, get cozy. Got 5 minutes? Got 7 minutes? Hey, this is tip number 7. Let's say get 7 minutes. Get cozy. Grab a blanket, make some tea, allow yourself to feel comfy, put on those joggers or those sweats, put on a sweater, get like super, super cozy. Allow 7 minutes to take a break from whatever is bothering you. Turn off the news for 7 minutes. Stay off your phone for 7 minutes. I'm just talking about 7 minutes. You could do anything for 7 minutes. You can take a break from your phone. Kavana, are you listening? My daughter, oh, now you know her name. She's constantly on her phone. She is 12. It's like basically attached to her, like it's a body part at this time. I'm always telling her, like, step away from the phone. It's good for you. So you will be surprised at how much better you will feel after 7 minutes of just feeling cozy and warm and drinking tea. Coziness just makes you feel better. It makes you feel less anxious. And when you feel good, when you feel cozy and good, you are less likely to eat for comfort because you already feel comfortable. And by the way, 7 minutes is great. Like, do 7 minutes. That will be super helpful. But if you can do 14 minutes or 70 minutes, I mean, at, you know, 7 minutes, 14 minutes, 21 minutes, 28 minutes, do increments of 7 and you'll see how much better you feel. Again, when you feel better, you are less likely to use food for comfort, distraction, or relief. My 8th tip is to get into the reading zone. Reading is an instant escape route. Reading is to the mind what exercise is to the body. So the benefits of reading include stress reduction. You can learn some stuff too, increase your focus, or just be transported into another world. Personally, I am a big fan of detective thrillers or psychological thrillers. They are just they're my mind candy, if you will. Reading is an amazing way to escape coronavirus anxiety. It's all good. You know, whatever you read, it's going to have some benefit, whether it's fiction or nonfiction or whatever. Read what you want to read. Don't think, well, now's the time I should read Dostoevsky. Now's the time I should read those 100 classics that we should all read. No, now's the time to read a beach read. Now's the time to read something that is an escape. Now's the time to read for fun. Read for fun. My 9th tip, escape real life, R-E-A-L, escape real life with real life, R-E-E-L. Just like reading, when you watch a TV show or a movie, you escape your reality and you enter a totally different reality. And this is way healthier than going into the binge zone, because lots of people go into the binge zone because they get into that numb place. They're not, like, you're not thinking, you're not feeling. Book recommendation. Trevor Noah's Born a Crime. Not heavy, she says. Oh, perfect. I will definitely check that out. Thank you so much for that book recommendation. We all need to escape right now. Binging or stress eating is a form of escape, but there are other forms, and that's where these 10 fun and funky ways to deal with anxiety so you don't stress eat are all about. Also, comedies and escapist movies are the best choices because laughter, you may not know this, you may know this, laughter has a positive impact on your mood and stress levels from a physiological perspective. In fact, they did studies of depressed people many years ago, maybe like in the 70s. They did studies in which depressed people were told to smile, like they'd be just feeling horrible. And they would just be told, smile, even if you don't feel like smiling. So they'd smile, and then they would measure their brains in some way, and found that even smiling when you don't feel like smiling does something to your brain. And therefore, you know, we have a mind-body connection. Our brains and our minds are connected. They work together. So when you smile, you can start to even lift that depression. Laughter and fear can't exist at the same time, says Carly Gesch. Absolutely great point. Laughter and fear cannot exist at the same time. Wonderful point. Laughter has a positive impact on your brain. Laughter is a way of diminishing or escaping from fear and from anxiety. It is good medicine, especially now. My last tip, number 10, is to connect online. Now it's pretty much the only way we can connect online. Yes, that's why clowns visit hospitals, says Jose. Right, exactly. Or used to in better times, and hopefully we'll soon be able to do so again. Clowns and dogs visit hospitals because what do you do when you see a dog? You smile. Personally, clowns freak me out. Clowns scare me. I don't know what it is. I was probably traumatized as a child, but when I see a clown, I'm like, oh, I think all bad things. I think Stephen King's It. I think bad things, but most people find clowns funny. So, but when they see a clown, they smile. Most people, when they see a dog, they smile. So whatever brings a smile to your face or laughter to your face and to your heart, it's all good. So online communities, online games give you something to do during this time. A lot of people have less to do. And sometimes when you're bored, you can, someone else who hates clowns. Yes. Right? Clowns are scary. They're creepy. Clowns are creepy. That's what it is. They're just creepy. To me, and no offense to any of you clowns out there. So I'm sure that you are lovely people and you want to make people laugh, but you just creep the hell out of me. I'm sorry. So online communities and games, they give you something to do. We need to have something to do now during this time. And they offer a chance to hang out with other people all over the world who have something in common. You can reach people all over the world who have something in common. I recently talked to someone who said, she's taking like an online violin class from someone in Australia. And then she's taking an art class from someone in Ireland. And she's doing all these things online from people all over the world. And then she's joining groups on Facebook and otherwise of people who have the same interest as she. So that's exactly what this is all about. We are isolated. Even if we're with our families, we're isolated. We can't hug people that we miss. We can't hug our best friends. We can't hug our loved ones unless they actually live with us. We are alone. And even though we are seeing each other in a screen, we need to have even more of that sense of connection. Community is more important than ever. There's an app called House Party, by the way. You can invite your friends from all over and you could play games and you could drink, I guess. You could do a lot of that is happening. I know I have had a virtual wine night with my girlfriends the other day. We all were on Zoom and we all had our glass of whatever and we all caught up and it was fun. You know, it's not the same as being there, but it definitely helps and it definitely makes you feel connected. So this is a time to connect online with your community, the people you already know, the people in your life, and to also make new friends. Now, Jose is asking me a question. What about you guys work in that issue? I am not sure I understand. Adding a caller. Okay, Jose, I'm not sure I understand your question. Ronan is adding a caller. And in the meantime, again, community, Dr. Nina's Food for Thought community, join me, join us. We're all in this together. We're going to get through this. We're going to get through this together. I think Ronan, you need to call the caller back. She's Facebook.
Dr. Nina?
I hear her. Hello? It's Nicole. Hi, Nicole. Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm doing... Hey, listen, at this point, everyone I know is safe and healthy, and that's good.
I know. That's all that matters. Yeah, that's not that all that matters, but you're right. That is good. That is true.
That's a lot that matters. So, and Nicole, I have to tell you, we tried to make it so that we could put audio through into Instagram. We were unable to do so I am going to have to share what you say with the Instagram audience.
No worries. That sounds good. So just give me 1 second. I want to kind of try to go to a private place, okay?
Understood. She's going to a private place. We all get that now, right? Yeah. So after I talk with Nicole, I need to work on Bree. Thank you. I need to work on my issues with fear of clowns. Probably true. Or I could just avoid them. Like, I don't go to Universal during Halloween. Just don't go. Avoidance is a good tactic when it comes to clowns, but I should probably figure out why I have this aversion to clowns. Good point. Thanks, Bree. Jose, hopefully that answers your question.
Okay.
All right. Hi, Nicole is back. Hi, Nicole.
Okay. Back to your private place. Okay. So I kind of have moved in with my boyfriend.
You got to speak up a little bit more. That you kind of moved in with your boyfriend.
Yeah, exactly. So just like a lot of feelings towards that. And I don't know, also a lot of feelings towards engagement, and like we're practically like living like man and wife already, and like
you mean husband and wife. I gotta catch you, Nicole. She said she's practically living with her boyfriend. They're practically man and wife. Excuse me, man and wife. How about husband and wife? We don't say man and woman.
I don't know why
husband and wife.
I don't know why I said that. Thank you for correcting me.
Not correcting, just bringing to your attention some of the maybe more archaic views of your parents that have gotten in your mind.
I was going to say, maybe there's something more there, you know? Just like a lot of feelings there, and just
What feelings are you having? And are they feelings or are they thoughts? Sometimes we think we have feelings, but we're really having thoughts.
Well, let me express them and then maybe you could help me. I don't know.
Okay.
So just kind of feeling like, I guess a lot of people are saying, these are what other people are saying. You're making it too easy for him. He already has you.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
I've heard enough. Okay. So Nicole is saying that she's basically moved in with her boyfriend. And during this time, by the way, a lot of relationships have sort of, I know you've had a relationship for a while with this guy and it's been going very well and you were moving towards being engaged, but because of this situation, maybe it's expedited moving in together because it's not like you won't see each other if you don't live together. So her friends and her family are telling her, you're making it too easy for him. And I believe last week when you called, the expression, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free was used. And so this is causing a lot of anxiety for Nicole. And of course, we want to make sure we work through this anxiety so you don't use food to cope. So
go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, we were on a walk the other day, and this kind of came up. We were on a walk and we were talking about, you know, using like buying a house, like buying a property or like investment property, and what our goals are kind of for the future.
And talking about the future.
And then I was like, well, where does engagement fit in all of this? So like, it seemed like a natural question.
I'm going to catch the Instagram. Okay. All right. So they're talking about their future. And she said, well, where does engagement fit into all of this? And he
freaked out. I guess I kind of like, I think I triggered something because a month ago, I tried to talk to him about like timeline.
How did he freak out when you say,
he said that I'm, putting pressure on him, and that
pressure.
Last week we had a conversation about how it's really important for me for him to be financially stable, and I want to feel secure, and I want to know that, you know, things are going to be okay for the future and all
okay,
that
so,
stuff.
So yeah. What the boyfriend is saying is he doesn't want to get engaged unless he feels really financially stable and secure. And so how do you hear that?
So my thing is like, well, why can't we get engaged and then work towards that together? It's like our plan is to work together to build an empire together, like as partners. And
yes, that's
he's kind of
very reasonable. So, okay.
And he's
so,
saying that he wants to wait until he feels secure on his own and that he can provide the kind of life that I would want before
okay,
he puts
so,
a ring
okay,
on
so
it.
What's happening is there's this juxtaposition of being a modern person and having some archaic perspectives that are from the past. So both of you have some very traditional views, and both of you have some very contemporary views. So Nicole,
yes.
Your view is let's work as a partner. Let's like build together. Let's get engaged or married and work towards that together. Like we're partners. We're going to be equals. We're going to work towards financial security together. He's saying he doesn't even want to get engaged until he can provide for you, which again is a very traditional perspective. So I would say that maybe he wants to look at or we want to challenge this notion that he should provide for you, because, which is, by the way, a very common thing I hear from guys, and it is a bit traditional, but it's about the past when men were supposed to provide for women and women were provided for and they reared children. I mean, we don't live in that world anymore, or very few of us live in that world. So maybe you can talk to him about this notion that, like, he's telling you two things. We're equal partners. We're going to build an empire together. And yet he feels like he's got to provide and be the man and the financial person. That's at odds.
Yeah.
Those are two different messages. So
yeah,
I would just like maybe gently challenge that. Where does that come from? Where does that idea come from? And then tell him, remember the situation. Remember the situation, emotion, and translation? When you tell me that you want to wait to be financially secure in order to get engaged, I feel, what do you feel?
I feel frustrated
you feel frustrated.
Frustrated. I feel anxious. I feel scared. And I think part of it is kind of because my last relationship, member, he just bounced after eight months. He's like, I can't do this. So I guess part of it is like, okay, everything's going well. We're planning our future together. And it seemed like a natural question to be like, engagement?
Okay. So situation, emotion, translation. So the situation is he wants to wait until he's financially secure, whatever that is, to get engaged. You feel frustrated, anxious, upset, scared, maybe hurt, because it means, what does it mean to you? Because
I guess it means he has a potential out, or like maybe he'll get sick of me, or maybe not love me anymore. Or like, I don't know. Like,
so
maybe something will happen and then he'll just like
security.
Find it out and he would have just like used me this whole time for his entertainment, which I don't think he's that type of guy, but like, God knows.
Okay.
This is the stuff my mom and
that's your mom. Let me catch the Instagram folks up. So the situation is this, the emotions are that, and the what it means to her is that because she had another relationship of a guy who just as she just put it, bounced, just completely dropped her. Everything was going great, and then suddenly he's gone. And so obviously that's a traumatic experience to have. And so because of that, Nicole is very afraid that if she doesn't get engaged and there isn't some commitment,
lock it in,
that he is going to leave. So for you, I would say it's really important to find a way to trust the relationship without, because you have such suspicion of him, or I should say your mother has so much suspicion of him, like he's using you and he just,
what?
Whereas, hello?
Hi, I'm here. I'm listening.
Oh, I just heard something else. Anyway, so
it was a security guard. Sorry.
Okay. So for him, for him to look at these very traditional notions of being the provider, but for you to learn to trust him and the relationship without feeling the need to lock it in. Like, it sounds to me like it's already locked in. You're talking about your future.
But how can you be sure? Like, he says to me, I have no doubts about you. I would never ask you to move in if I wasn't sure about us. And like, we have a trainer. He trains with her and she trains with me. And I was expressing to her, like, do you think it's too early to move in? We've only been dating for 5 months. And she said that he expressed to her that he knew he wanted me to move in. And so I don't know. He expressed it to her too. So I guess if I'm thinking about present moment and like, okay, like in this present moment, he loves me. He's consistent. He's devoted to me. He shows his affection every day. Maybe just be with that and not worry about the future.
Exactly. Because that present moment, she's saying she needs to trust the present moment, that he does want to be with her, that he shows her he wants to be with her, that he's with her, that he invited her to move in, all of these things. And yet it's almost like you're not trusting that. And you're only trusting, the only thing you want to trust is will you marry me? It is probably too soon to go to that place. What you're not trusting is that someone can be attached to you.
Yeah.
You're not trusting that someone can be attached to you the way you are to him. And so all of this insecurity about it is and need to lock it in is because you're not feeling secure that he actually does love you. And so that's something to look at. Why are you not able to take in that you're an object of someone's love and desire?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Because when you feel lovable and when you trust what's there, when you change the narrative seems to be, well, yeah, he says this now, but he could change his mind, just like the other dude did.
Yeah. Scared
of abandonment because you were abandoned. So we all have these narratives and then we find evidence to match the narrative and we filter out everything that doesn't match the narrative. So even though you have this guy who's like, I'm sure about you, I love you, I want to be with you, we're going to create a life together, even though he's telling you all these things and showing you all these things, more to the point. You dismiss it because it's not of your fear and it's not locked in, so it's not real. Sorry, I don't know what's happening in my voice. You've got to change the narrative to, I'm going to focus on how is he showing me that he loves me? And that is going to make you feel a lot more confident and a lot more secure.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're making it too easy and all of that. This, I'm sorry, is absolute BS.
Yeah, my aunt said to me, the way you're doing it, he's gonna date you for 10 years, and he's never gonna propose to you. I promise. Like,
okay,
this is the shit I hear. And then I don't.
Let me share this with the Instagram audience.
Okay.
Her aunt told her she's gonna live with him for 10 years, and he's never gonna marry her, and then he's gonna dump her. Well, I'm sorry, your aunt does not have a crystal ball. Oh, the aunt said he'd never marry her. What crystal ball does your aunt have? None.
She doesn't.
What?
I'm wondering, she's older. Maybe she knows better. I don't know.
No, older does not mean wiser. Nicole, Okay. Oh, older does not mean wiser. Older just means you've lived with some stupid thoughts for longer on the planet. Trust me. Older does not mean wiser.
Okay. So
it paints your boyfriend in the position of being someone who just wants to use you and doesn't love you, instead of asking the question, well, does he love you? Do you feel loved by him? Are you happy?
Yeah, all those things are yes.
That's what matters.
But then the other thing is, why not, if we're already acting like we're engaged, why not just propose?
Because it's only been, what did you say, 5 months?
5 months.
It's only been 5 months. You should know someone a year before you get engaged. Although I knew my husband for 9 months.
You're not the first person who said that to me. Okay.
It's too early.
He said something to me within 6 months last time, like when we were speaking on the walk, and I'm like, where does engagement fit into all of this? He said within 6 months, and I didn't like the answer because it didn't seem concrete enough, but okay.
No,
we just continue then. Okay.
He's not saying I don't want to get engaged. He's saying, let's get engaged within 6 months. Stop fast forwarding this. Let it unfold the way it's supposed to. Have you moved in a little on the early side because of the situation? Okay, yeah. My husband moved in with me after 6 months, and I had a child. So
wow,
it worked out.
How about getting my own place?
You know what? Getting your own place would be fine if we weren't in the age of coronavirus, and then you couldn't see him.
Oh yeah.
Live in the age of coronavirus. That's why you're. I mean, hopefully
we still can't we?
But then you're kind of going backwards.
Yeah, it is going backwards. So just stick with it and just work on my own. Change the narrative in my head and deal with what is.
Yes, deal with what is, not what if. Stop thinking that people who are older know better.
Right.
And are they asking, and they don't know, they're not psychic.
When I feel better,
you're less likely to worry about food or weight or body image or any of those things. It's all a distraction.
Yeah.
I just want to say one thing with the what is. He is telling you that he intends to get engaged. He is not telling you, oh, I don't know, someday when I'm financially viable. He's saying within 6 months. That is an appropriate answer.
Okay, I like it. I like it. And then the other thing I was going to say about food and body image is, like, he knows all the things I have, and so he thinks I should work out with a trainer, and he's like, I want you to focus more on exercising and being active, and then you can just eat whatever you want, but I feel like that's
he doesn't understand
a little bit.
No, will you call me back next week and we can talk about it, because unfortunately we're almost at the end. Hopefully we'll have our audio worked out so that you could just talk without me interrupting you to tell.
So it's going to be about the exercise and being able to eat whatever you want, but that's fucking with me because you told me you don't have to earn your calories. So it kind of contradicts everything I've been working on.
He doesn't understand things from the psychology of it. The boyfriend is telling her to just exercise more and then she can eat whatever she wants, which shows that he does not understand the psychology of it.
He doesn't.
Which,
okay.
So most people don't.
Yeah.
But we can talk about how to relay that to him.
Thank you. All right. I love you. Thank you, Dr. Nina. Okay.
You're welcome,
bye.
Nicole.
Bye.
Stay safe.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Well, that is our show today. I did not have the chance to talk about 10 ways to be nicer to yourself, which I will do next week. So thank you so much again for joining me here on LA Talk Radio from home, from my home studio this time, where I will be for the foreseeable future. If you have any questions for me, you can always post them on my Facebook page or ask me, shoot me a DM in Instagram or email me. Or join my Facebook group and post something. I would love to hear what is on your mind, what is eating at you, especially during this very intense time. Because again, and when it comes to food, weight, and body image issues, it is not what you are eating that is the problem. It is what is eating at you. And we're here to get to the bottom of that, to get to those deep roots and dig them up and out. So it's out of your life forever. And you really are liberated. So I don't believe in recovery, recovering from binge eating disorder or something like that. No, I believe in liberation. I believe in freeing yourself from, you're welcome, Brie. I believe in freeing yourself from the shame and the self-reproach and the agony of worrying about every calorie, carb, or fat gram or macro that goes in your mouth. You can free yourself from that. You can live a happy, great life, and you don't have to think about all this stuff because you have other things that can be on your mind, right? Let's be interested in that. So again, thank you for being here with me. Apologies for the slight technological glitches. We are working to work through them. My wonderful, wonderful Ronan engineer at LA Talk Radio is helping me remotely, and we're going to resolve this. And everybody, stay safe, stay healthy, and I will see you next week. Bye for now.
You're listening to The Dr. Nina Show with Dr. Nina Savelle-Rocklin, only on LA Talk Radio.